Well, let me just say it's great to be back in Maryland again. This is a place I had a lot of different relationships to, including writing novels that take place in part of Maryland. And, of course, here we are at the oldest continuous capital in the United States, and in many ways one of the most historic sites in the history of freedom, where Washington came to resign his commission after the war, which George II said that if Washington, or George III said, if Washington actually would give up power, he would be the greatest man of the century. And Washington did, and went back home to Mount Vernon. It's a key moment in the history of freedom. I'm glad to be here. I'll just say two or three quick things. One, it's just a fortune of scheduling, but I'm delighted to be here on the day that there are so many young people here advocating school choice, and I hope all of you will notice the diversity of the people who are here advocating school choice, the range of young people who feel that they ought to have the right to go to a school that works and that is effective. And I think given that that's one of the most important questions we have as a country, is how do we get effective education for all of our children? And school choice is a major component of that. So I'm delighted to be here that day. Also, there is talk here about a increase in the gas tax for Maryland, which I think shows as much political insensitivity as you could imagine. Given everybody's concern about the price of gasoline, to have an effort made to raise the price by as much as 25 cents a gallon strikes me as being very, very anti-everyday working American, and is the opposite direction. So I will be later on today at Salisbury at 3 o'clock outlining once again an American energy independence plan, the idea that we should be free from the Middle East so that no American president ever again has to bow to a Saudi king. And I'll outline why I believe we can get down to $2.50 a gallon or less, although apparently it would always be higher here if the state gas tax passes. So it's a very interesting time to be here, a beautiful day. The race is going to go on, just to preempt a range of questions I'm certain will come. Governor Romney is the front runner, but is a long way from a majority. We have had 10 million people vote so far in the primaries. About 4 million voted for Romney, 6 million voted for people other than Romney. If he does get, by the time Utah votes on the 26th of June, if he gets a majority, obviously I will support him and will be delighted to do everything I can to help defeat Barack Obama, who reminded us again yesterday in his promise to the Russians that he would be happy to dismantle our ballistic missile defense after the election. But would like not to be bothered until he gets done getting reelected, because he knows on that issue he would lose a lot of votes. So I will be for whoever the Republican nominee is. If, however, we get to June 26th and Governor Romney does not have a majority, I think you'll then have one of the most interesting open conventions in American history. It'll be a 60-day dialogue on television, radio, the internet, all the way up to Tampa. And the question will be asked is, who could best beat Barack Obama? And at that point, I think most Republicans agree that I would probably do a better job debating Obama than any other candidate. And I think it becomes a very viable, very lively campaign. So we're campaigning here in Maryland today. I was in Delaware yesterday. We're going to be campaigning in D.C. In fact, I'll be giving a speech at Georgetown tomorrow night on the whole concept of innovation and dramatic reform of American government. And so we're going to continue campaigning all the way through to Tampa, and I'll be glad to take questions.
What do you say to that 6 million who didn't vote for you, and who didn't vote for Mitt Romney? What do you say to that 6 million to get them to go to the polls in November if he's the nominee?
Say two words: Barack Obama. Any Republican, any independent, any conservative who stays home is helping reelect Barack Obama.
But a lot of those people stayed home in 96, and Bill Clinton was reelected. How do you
I think that?
That
they fear Obama radically more than they feared Bill Clinton.